We now start the seventh perek of Maseches Yevamos, and the focus of this perek will be on a topic that was just touched on tangentially in the previous chapter. We talked about how a woman who is a Bas Kohen, she herself is from a Kohen family, but she participates in a union which is forbidden to her. She becomes psula, invalid from eating truma thereafter for the rest of her life. So we're going to discuss that in length here. Just a moment of background to make sure the basic dinim are clear, because the Mishnah here, Mishnah Aleph, jumps into the thick of things right away with a strange what if. But just make sure that the halachas are clear. A woman who is the daughter of a Kohen, so she is permitted to eat truma her whole life, unless either A, she marries a non-Kohen, a czar, in which case she becomes part of his household and exempt and disallowed from eating truma, or B, she had been married to a non-Kohen, and she has a child from that person. So then even if now she's widowed, divorced, and she would otherwise go back to her father's home, let's say, and be once again allowed to eat truma like before, if she has offspring from the non-Kohen, so she's tied into like having her own new family, if you will, a non-Kohenic family, and that being the case, she can no longer eat truma. The third possibility is if she's a regular Kohenis, but she participates in one of these forbidden unions, even let's say a mitzvah's ase, like for example, she marries, she's a divorcee, and she marries a Kohen, for example, so then forevermore she becomes psula and she cannot eat truma. On the flip side, a woman who was born to a non-Kohen, a Bas Yisrael, so she is not allowed to eat truma unless one of two things happen. Either A, she marries a Kohen, in which case now she's part of his household and can eat truma with him, or B, she has a child who is whose father was a Kohen. Now the father's no longer here. She's widowed, let's say, but she now has a child who's a Kohen. So then that's like they create their own family unit, and she can eat truma, being part of that family unit there with her child, the Kohen. Okay, now one last point of introduction before we jump into the thick of it with the Mishnah here. When it comes to avadim, slaves, so slaves are, their person is owned by their owner, and therefore they're considered to be part of a household. So the principle, the guiding principle here in the Mishnah is a Kohen's household, meaning the Kohen and his wife and his children and even his animals under whatever circumstances, which are part of the household, can all eat truma. He can feed the animals truma. He can feed his children and his wife truma. So too the avadim, the slaves that he owns, he can also feed truma. That's based on a pasuk. And actually this is the pasuk which has a limud from which one learns that the woman who didn't start out being a Kohen can also eat truma when she marries the Kohen. The pasuk in Vayikra, Perek Chaf Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph, which says, V'Kohen, when it comes to a Kohen, Ki Yikne Nefesh Kinyan Kaspo, when he acquires a person, Hu Yochel Bo, he, that acquired person, also may be permitted to eat Truma through his relationship to the Kohen and his household. And actually that's a drush there. Also the woman, of course, when a couple gets married, the husband doesn't own the person of the wife, but he does acquire certain rights in her personhood, meaning her rights for ishus, for marriage, that belong to him exclusively, and that's enough to make her be part of his household to eat truma. Okay, so with that in mind, the Mishnah here wants to ask the following question. What happens if you have a woman who is in and of herself psula from eating truma? She can't eat truma. Let's say she is, in the case of the Mishnah will be, the first words, Almana la Kohen Gadol. She is a widow. She marries a Kohen Gadol. That's against the rules. It's a violation of Mitzvah's Ase. So now she becomes psula and she can never eat truma ever again, even though she's still married to the Kohen. They're supposed to get divorced, but until they get divorced, they're married. What about her slaves that she owns? So are those slaves permitted to eat truma? I should really say better, the slaves she brings into the marriage, to be more inclusive of the whole mission here. So on the one hand, they're her slaves, and to the extent they're her slaves, it would assume that they're like sort of subordinate to her, and she can't eat truma, so maybe they can't also. Or do we say no, since they're part of the larger household, and he can eat truma because he's a Kohen, so they can eat truma too. Okay, now, really to understand the nuances of this mission, you have to be reminded of the two ways in which asses that a woman brings to the marriage can become the husbands, as is codified in the Ksuba. There's two categories. It's called Nichse Son Barzel, Tzon means like a flock of sheep. Barzel means iron. So it's iron sheep, literally. Another kind is Nechse Melug. Nechse Melug, Melug is to pluck, like plucking property. Now, I'll explain what those two things are again very briefly. Tzon Barzel means that she brings in an asset, let's say the slave here to the marriage, and the value of the slave is appraised, and in the ksuba is written a fixed amount, which says, you know, the slave now becomes mine, or the flock becomes mine, or the apartment building becomes mine. But we're saying in the ksuba that if we ever get divorced or you're widowed, so then you'll get this fixed amount, this, you know, a million shekels for that asset. That's called tzon barzel. It's like sort of because the value of it is set in like stone, set in iron. Tzon barzel, iron sheep. So really what happens is when she brings that asset into the marriage, the Cohen, the husband, now actually owns it in truth. He owns it, just he's on the hook for a financial, you know, amount in the event that they split up. The other kind of asset, nechse melug, plucking property, technically it would be called usufruct property, that's a fancy word. He has the right for the to use it and to get the payros, the benefit, the dividends that it produces while they're married, but the actual corpus, the thing itself, goes back to her in the event of divorce. So the case of sheep, it would mean she brings the flock in. The flock, while they're married, he can shear the sheep, he can get the milk and so on, and that's his. But in the event that they split up, she gets back the sheep themselves. That's if it's malug property. Same goes if it's an apartment building. While they're married, he can collect the rent and spend it on what he wants. But in the case of divorce, then she takes the actual building back, etc. So when it comes to nechse tzon barzel, really it's being transferred totally to him. When it comes to malug, nechse malug, it's really her property being like sort of like leased to him or something like that. And therefore, we'll differentiate in the Mishnah between those two categories when it comes to a woman who herself is a psula, who can't eat truma, who brings in an asset that's a slave into the marriage. So the Mishnah says, Almana la kohen gadol, if you have this woman who's a widow who married a kohen gadol illegally, and therefore she's psula, grusha v'chalutza la kohen heriot, and same goes if you have a woman who's a grusha, a divorcee, or a chalutza, she participated in chalitza, which is like being a divorcee, madura banan, and she's now married to a kohen heriot, a regular kohen, both those are illegal. If she brings into the marriage slaves, some of which are categorized as malug and some are tzon barzel. So the avde malug, the usufruct property that she brings in, which really hers and going to be hers to take the actual person back if she gets divorced, lo yochlu b'truma, that slave may not eat truma because it's considered to be like part and parcel with her. And it's mighty strange if she can't eat truma, but it could. The slave could. He could eat truma. I should point out here, this is only din d'rabbanan. Midoraisa, in truth, since he has a kinyan in it, he, the Cohen, has a kinyan in the slave also. He's a chrize for it. The slave could eat. But midoraisa, we're saying, since it's like hers, we're not letting. If she can't, then the slave can't either. In contrast, avde tzon barzel, when it comes to the tzon barzel, the property that's going to belong to him, like perpetuity after its actual object. So then Yochelu, those slaves could eat truma now because they're not really connected to her anymore. They're connected to him, and her being a psula doesn't make a difference. Ve'elen avde malug, we're going to define now what constitutes slaves that are malug slaves, usufruct slaves. Im mesu, for example, if the husband dies, mesula. So then the benefit is to... Excuse me, I said that badly. If imesu, if the slave dies, mesula, she suffers the loss. Vim hosiru, and if the slave increases, both there, let's say there's another slave born, or the slave increases in value, could get stronger or something, hosiru la, the benefits that increase belong to her. Afo pi shehu chaya b'mezonosam, even though the husband, the Kohen, is obligated to feed these malug slaves, that's because how else are they going to get fed? This is dindur abanan because she has no assets of her own. She's gotten married to him. Therefore, he has an obligation to take care of her assets. So therefore, notwithstanding that, hare elu lo yochlu b'truma. Nevertheless, these slaves may not eat truma because if she can't, they can't either because they're her slaves, as I said before. Ve'elu hen avde tzon varzel. What constitutes slaves that are tzon barzel slaves? Those are ones that imesu, if the slave dies, mesu lo. It's the husband who owns them who suffers a loss. Vim hosiru, if they increase in number or value, so then hosiru lo, the benefit accrues only to him because he owns them. Hol vu chayav b'achrayusan, since he is responsible for them, they're his. And I guess the general rule in the Torah Sashkaf is if you take responsibility for it, it's like yours. Since it's responsibility for it in full, they're his, you know, for it to win or lose. Hare elu yochlu betruma. Therefore, they, these slaves, may eat truma, being subordinate, considered subordinate and part of the household of that Kohen.